It's just a short word tonight, he said. Yes, you've heard that one before. Hallelujah. Psalm number 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God. There we have a picture of a tree that is planted by a river. It's a tree that's planted by a river. And, you know, its leaves and the roots sometimes go down into the water. So it draws water. Because it's next to a place where there's a flow of water. There's a flow of life. Now, God likens us to that. Because when we were in the world, we ran all over the place, did what we wanted to do. Ran riot, and I did. And that, you know, totally right, total, like, you know, just let's not even go there, you know. But the thing is that when we come to God, he wants to put us in a safe place. A safe place. He doesn't want to run to and fro here, there, and everywhere. And, you know, I see in Christianity, I see some people that are running here, there, and everywhere, looking for this, looking for that, looking for that. And never, ever bearing fruit in their life. I know Uncle Art, I could stand up here and tell of, like, the myriads of people that he's seen over the years. And, you know, but God plants you. He plants you. Now, a tree's planted, doesn't it? You didn't see it, right? You know, you see a tree. Well, where's the tree gone? Oh, it's away on its holidays. It's just up and packed its cases and it's headed off to the coast for the weekend, you know? A tree's planted. It's rooted. Amen. It's rooted. And God says, if I plant you, I'm going to bless you. Right. And you know, it's like every year. You know, you know, I've shared this story before, but if you haven't heard it. Right, okay. Wasn't that funny, Deb? You get control. I went to Sweden a few years back, right? I was invited up to a place in Uppsala. And if you've seen a man called Ulf Ekman on God TV, in that massive church up there in Uppsala. And I was up there ministering, and fantastic, you know, the place is awesome, you know. And I was staying with a friend of mine who was a pastor out there, and it was me and a guy called Bill Regan and that, you know. And I was doing various little bits and pieces for the Lord, warfare, all kinds of stuff. And one day I got invited by this pastor to his uncle. His uncle had been a pastor, and his uncle was nearing on to 100 in age. And we went to his house, and he had this huge apple orchard, massive apple orchard. And he took us round. He had all different types of apples. And he said, "Davy, you're lucky to be here at this time." And I said, "What for?" And he said, "Well, he took us to this tree at the bottom of the orchard. It was massive. And it had on it the biggest apples I've ever seen in my life. Now, like, they were beautiful. You know, looking at them." And he said, "Davy, he poked one off the tree for us and he gave us it. And he said, taste that." And he said, "I bet you've never tasted a more beautiful apple than that." And he was right. I went, "Wow, this is fantastic, this." And he said, "Davy, you know, this tree," he says, "when you plant it, it doesn't bear any fruit for 10 years. And after that, it bears fruit once every 3 years. And he says, "You just happen to be here now, and it's a time." He said, "But the fruit is the best." And the thing is that when you're planted, you know, you might not see a lot of fruit in your early days. I didn't see any, really. I mean, I was with Jesus all day. I mean, but like, really, you know, I wasn't seeing. And I mean, I was with God. I mean, how awesome is that, you know? You know, I'm locked away 10 hours a day with the Lord. But the thing was that there's fruit that I was seeing in myself. I was starting to change. The violence was getting taken out of us. The anger was getting taken out of us. The, you know, all of the habits of a lifetime are getting taken out of us, you know. And but there's that kind of fruit that goes on inside of you. But the thing is, it's been correctly planted, then it comes to the stage when you start to grow. When a tree grows, it doesn't just produce fruit straight away. And but the best fruit sometimes takes the longest to produce. But when it produces, it's awesome. It's really awesome, you know. And the thing is that God is doing that. Now, he's planted you in a place. You're part of this ministry. That lady just said, I feel at home. I've come here. And that's the Holy Spirit. It's God doing that. Now, from what it is now, you know, when God plants you, then from that place, in that place, then God has ordained things to come to that tree. Let's talk about it from a tree's point of view, right? A tree's planted in a certain place. What does it need to grow? It needs water. It needs light. It needs, you know, the elements. It needs the nourishment of the ground. And all of these other things. So when God plants a tree, or when you plant a tree in a particular place, everything is being called to that tree in that place. And sometimes I know people uproot trees and plant them elsewhere, sometimes things and that. But on the whole, you see, a tree is planted, and everything God will call the sunlight, the wind, the rain, everything it needs for it to survive and get life. And that's what God does with us. We'll go out into the world and we'll commit all kinds of sins and all kinds of stuff, and then God gets a hold of it. And sometimes he'll put we in a place for a while. I know I went to a Sunday school for a while, and sometimes a lot of religious churches are just basically Sunday schools. They're there like a nursery school to give you the basics, and then when you grow up a bit, sometimes God will shift you. But then when he plants you, there's a difference, because you're going to bear fruit in that place. And like, God has already written the script. So the thing is that sometimes the enemy tries to tug we're away or get we're out of sync, and he tries to come and dress us something up nicely. I know he did to me. He's, you know, he tried and come make, give me offers of all kinds of different ministries and things like that. You know, you're on the platform circuit in America, everything's there for you, you're made. And that was it, you know, all these sort of things, you know. Because when you're moving in miracles and, you know, you're doing all these things, then people come to you and make you offers. But that was an enticement to get me out of place and that, you know, I knew that. But when God's planted you, it's because you might not say, well, I'm not really bearing fruit, but you may be saying a season of growth. Because there's different seasons. There is different seasons. Sometimes you're in the season of intercession and prayer. Sometimes you're in the season of evangelizing or witnessing. Sometimes it's a personal season where God's taking you deep and he's cutting away at you. Because a tree that's going to bear fruit needs to be cut back and pruned so it'll bear more fruit. Amen. Yeah, by yeah. And what's happening is there's an anointing on your life that he wants you, yeah by yeah, to grow, but to bear fruit. And now what's God's plan? When you look throughout the Bible, it says he wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be wealthy. Right? He wants you to be wealthy. A lot of people get hung up on this. Oh, well, Lord, and they're going back to the John the Baptist thing and the camel skins and all of these things, right? And yes, there's a time. What God wants you to have is a proper value on your money and things like that. Like, you give, and then you get back. You give, you get back. But you don't just get back, you get increase. That's what God tries to get through to it. And we're like, oh dear, I can't give this, I might not have enough for this, I might not have enough for that. And then suddenly God says, look, just give that. And you give something and it's full, woof, God blesses you back and you go, oh, works this? Because that's the only place in the Bible where God tells you to trust me and to try me. There's nowhere else in the Bible where God says, you test me. But God, it's with what giving and that, you know? So when you learn that principle, giving, you start to look for opportunities to give people and that, you know? And of course, you always get back in. And that's trusting God. That's saying, I believe in you, Lord. But when you do it, you see the fruit of it. You know, so it's, and of course there's protection in tithing and giving, as well as protection on your health, there's protection on all kinds of things in tithing and giving. But anyway, that's not what this is about. This is about being rooted in God and growing up in God so he can bless you. He wants to bless you. That's God's goal. You know, when you look in the Bible at the character, Solomon was the wealthiest man in the world. I reckon there's been nobody that had the wealth that Solomon had. So God's not against you having wealth. He wants to bless you with it. But also Solomon made a lot of bad mistakes as well, Lord. I mean, it's probably not a good example to use in that, you know. But he had 3,000 wives or something. And I don't know. But anyway, but the thing is, that must be a nightmare, that. What's the sleeping arrangements and matters? No, I'm not going there, Lord. So, like, you know, it's like, at the end of the day, God is like has a plan for your life. So he wants to make you wealthy and he wants to make you healthy. Or you can struggle on your own, trying to do it your own way and go through life struggling. When God's saying, I don't want you to do it, I just want to bless you. You know, and sometimes, like, you know, and the enemy's just saying, oh, you don't need that. No, you never need it when you do. Remember, Satan's always going to try and pull you away. He's always going to try and stop you. He's always going to try and stop you fulfilling your destiny. You know, and, you know, I see, you know, sometimes as you go on in this, like, you see people who have stayed with a program, who stayed with it, and that get mightily blessed. I mean, you know, you think about it, look at Jimmy and Jane out there with their gold mines and everything else, and that gold mines, not a little bit of gold mines, and the hacking and whacking great lumps of gold out of their mines. Now, what can God give you if you stay with the program? You know, like one day she's worshiping here, she's leading the worship. She was leading the worship here. You see her every Sunday, single mother on benefits. And now she's sitting out there in Mombasa Beach and they're mining our gold out of our mine. So what can God give you? By staying in the right place and not allow the devil to turn your head left or right. Left or right. But I mean, the thing is if there was no fruit here, I would say, get out that door, don't come back. I'm going with you. You let me find somewhere where people are being healed, where the dead's being raised. Let me get out there and find it. But what God's called, we're here and he's doing it. And he's right here with me now. You're not here by mistake or chance. Be committed to God, because one day you will individually stand before God. There'll be nobody else there. It'll just be you and God. And he's going to look at you and say, what did you do for what I give you? That's a serious question. What did you do with what I give you? And now that's not to say, oh, you've got to, you know, what I'm telling you, this is the reality. I'm not talking if you're just a new believer, you're just, but when you've been on the road a while, God is going to actually ask you to give an account. So if you're planted, you're going to produce life. I remember Matthew Washimolo, who runs Kingsway International Centre in London. And he had a group of about 40 people in his church for about 5 years. It was just like a small group in that, you know. And God had said to him, Matthew, you know, you're going to have thousands upon thousands in here, and this. And you're going to have some of the wealthiest people in the world come and back you up, and right? And, you know, and he was, for years, it was a little group in that. And, you know, he went through all the problems that normal churches go through. But then they got to that day when Matthew was, like, crying out and saying, God, when is it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And the Lord says, today's the day. Bang. Before he knew it, he had 500 people just sat in front of him, from 40 to 500. And then from 500 to 1,000. And 1,000 to 2,000 to 10,000. I mean, just, like, growing. And then wealthy people start to come and stand around him. And he's got some of the richest men in the world feeding into his ministry. And I think they're about 40,000 or something. They have the 3 or 4 services in warehouses and airplane hangars and whatever. But the thing is that God has put a promise on your life. He said that to me. God doesn't tell lies. Jesus stood in front of him, his arms wrapped around this. And the thing is that, you know, it's like, I'm like here, and I'm like, Lord, you know, and I start to see people producing fruit in our lives. It's great. It's great. And I'm thinking, thank God, could I knock on to Dallas? No. But like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, so like, you know, I'm seeing the people produce fruit, and that's great. Because at the end of the day, these are going to be the ones who look after, and you're going to train the multitudes that God's wanting to bring.
Amen.
I don't know why I chose this place. Please, it could have been better places. Lord, I could have, you know, yeah, I'm sure you could have sent me somewhere. Sorry, but you know, at the end of the day, he'll that's what he's called you for. And he's called you as a people of power. Victory.
Amen.
Victory, victory,
amen.
Victory, victory. You've got to get rid of this negative thinking.
Amen.
And as much as I preach this, and I preach this, and I preach this, and I preach this, you've really got to see yourselves how God sees you.
That's right.
You know, you have the potential to do awesome miracles. And that's like, and it's a case of like bringing your mind into alignment with it. Bringing your mind into mind with God's thoughts, right?
Amen.
And the more you pray in the Holy Spirit, the more you're going to hear God's voice. The more you pray in tongues, the more you're gonna hear God's plans. They don't come any other way. God's prescribed a way to get his plans. You know, it's like you've got to tune in to the right thing. If you want to watch EastEnders, it's tune in to BBC One. Or you want to tune in to Coronation Street, it's ITV. Well, if you want to move in miracles and power, you've got to tune in to God.
Amen.
Because he's the source. He leads you in the right way at the right time. And because you're available, you hear him. And he'll tell you to do things that you wouldn't think you to do. We'll give an illustration of this. If you go into a book of John right now, it's just a short message tonight. But I just want to encourage you in this because God, this is what God's put on my heart to share with you. You're special. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you're really special. You are chosen. You are chosen before the foundations of the world. You are chosen before the foundations of the world. I'm reading from John chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm just going to give you a little scripture. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can do nothing of myself as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So God has got a will for you, and he's got a way to do it. So Jesus is saying, I'm not just doing what I want to. I'm going to meet with God. He's telling me what to do, and then I go and do it. So that's the thing, that we have to go to God and ask him, Lord, inspire us, tell us what to do, and just keep doing it till he starts telling you to do it. Chapter 6, after these things, Jesus went out over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And then Jesus went up onto the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing the great multitude coming towards him, said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough to feed this lot. And one of his brothers, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? There is a lad. I like that bit. There's a lad here. You know, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So, and when they were all filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. And they gathered up them and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over for those who had eaten. I just want to make a point here. See, the 5 barley loaves were left over. and fish were left over. You see, what had happened was Jesus needed something put in his hand. And the little boy who had that lunch, five little loaves and the fish, he gave what he had to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied it. Right? But he had to have something to multiply it with, and he actually gave them back. And that's what Jesus has sometimes. He needs something that you've got, or you know, to use it, you know. Now, the thing is Jesus can multiply. You know the story about Elijah, which we did a while ago, but we'll do again soon. But about Elijah, the miracles that Elijah did. And you think about what he did was when he said to the Shunammite woman, get your pots, gather as many pots you can get. And what he did was oil started to come into the pot out of nowhere. And he filled all the pots. And now he said, go and sell it. So there was these pots and pots and pots of oil. It multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And what was Elijah doing there? He was being inspired by the Lord. The Lord inspired him inside of his spirit. He got that knowing in his spirit that this was about to take place. What he had to do. And he felt that revelation coming from within him. So that it just kept coming. Where did it come from? It came out of the spirit realm. It came out of the spirit realm into the natural realm. Right? Get out of this. So it came out of the natural. I think he did the same with the flower. The flower multiplied. The oil multiplied. The fish multiplied. The bread multiplied. It multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And I want to tell you, God has got great storehouses in heaven. You know, like, what? How do we know this? Well, for 40 days and nights, he fed a group of rebellious people wandering around in the desert, morning and night, with manna, bread from heaven, coming in onto the floor around the camp. And then by night it was Kentucky Fried Quail, right? Landing in party buckets down by the camp. Well, it didn't exactly happen that way, like, but the quails, millions of them used to fly, millions of quail, few down by the camp. So where did they come from? Every night, every single night for 40 years, right? You had 2 million people there in the wilderness. You had 600,000 men, and then you had all the women and children. So you had about 2 million people. And it's probably more than that, 4 million probably, that were wandering. And then every night, there would come the quails and sit down by the camp, and they didn't run away or fly away, but they had to get out and do their little bit and chase after them, get them, kill them, roast them, cook them, fry them, whatever they did with them. But that was every single night. Every single night. And I want to say to you that there is storehouses in heaven that you have access to, and the devil don't want you to know that. And you say, well, that was great, that was Moses in the wilderness. But we see it time and time and time again. And we're going to be here all night talking about the testimonies of God's provision. You know, you heard the one about my friend down in Norfolk, John the farmer, that when the famine came, right? Now, this is a few years back, all of the crops got ruined because of the rain. And the farmers down in Norfolk had a real problem because their crops were getting washed out. And man, this is the wheat crops and that, you know. And so what I want to tell you, this is really fun. Christian farmers' sites, hardly any of them got touched. Right? Hardly any of them got touched. And there's a friend of ours down there who runs a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship down there. And he's a farmer. And he had, his plant wasn't affected. And he had tons and tons of wheat. That was pure, fantastic stuff, great stuff. And he had it in silos on his farm. And one of the silos, God said to him, look, John, I want you to give this silo of wheat away to the local farmers. And so, obedient to the Lord, he went and took and distributed it around the farms. But when he came back, his silo was full again. So he went and distributed it again. And he came back and the silo was full again. You see, God had to have something to work with. Do you see what I'm saying here? If you get a hold of the multiplication thing, yeah, it's going to just totally revolutionize your life. Because you need revelation on it. It's a revelation. And no matter what you need, I mean, there's been nights in here when the bread was short, Arthur, can you remember? And God kept multiplying the bread. So whenever I ran out, remember that, Debbie? When God was multiplying the bread. Because, you see, this is, now we have to start to realize that as our thinking changes, and we're coming to alignment with God about this stuff, it's not with Jesus. He was just shrugging his shoulders and, right, we'll do this today. Jump, 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 jump. But he'd spend time waiting on the Father that morning. He'd been on the mountain praying that morning. And as he, in his spirit, he knew what he was going to do that day. And when that situation arose, he knew exactly what to do. And then what happens is because when you're moving in the miracles and the power of God is traveling through it, you get tired with it. So Jesus was like getting a bit tired. He's giving out all these people, thousands of them, right? But he's giving out thousands of them. But now he starts to feel a little bit tired. And this is when the devil comes in with the attack. This is when Satan comes, when you're tired, when you can't be bothered. This is when Satan comes in. Because what did he do? He started to kick the people off. The people suddenly were starting to say that, you know, this must be the Saviour. This must be the Messiah. Come on, let's take him and make him king. Now, that wasn't in God's plans. But this is the devil trying to get Jesus off course. Jesus was never meant to be king of Israel. I mean, he is. But not at this particular time. But the thing is that, you see, so in this time, Jesus was probably feeling a bit weak. And what it says in here is that, excuse me, just a minute. Then verse 14 says, then those men that had seen the sign that Jesus did said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him and force him to be king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Right, by himself alone, he departed to the mountain. Why was he going to the mountain? Because he was tired. He wanted to find God's will. So all these people were like, oh, they're going to take him by force to make him king. But that wasn't the plan. So he went to the mountain to pray. And, you know, he went, therefore Jesus perceived they were about to take him and make him king and force him to make him king. He departed him again to the mountain by himself alone. And when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got in the boat, and went over the sea to Capernaum. And it was already dark. Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed out about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, it's I, do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Who's been in the car when we've been translated? Immediately. Anybody been in the car when we've been translated and moved? And hallelujah. Shane, you were in before Christmas, and God moved ahead an hour. So it was 20 minutes to drive from Sutton Coalfield to Nottingham, which is an impossibility. So, and it was an hour to Leeds, which is a possibility. So now, thinking about this now, so here is Jesus now walking on the water, coming back from a place of strength. He'd been and done these miracles, and then he'd went to the mountain and waited on the Father, and now he comes back walking across the sea. He gets in the boat and immediately translates the boat to the other side of the sea. This is miraculous, isn't it? But you see, he had to go and spend that time alone with God, and God had to, you know, and he came back and walked on the water. Now, you know, this is where God wants we're walking. He wants we're walking on water, not on the seabed. And sometimes we can get so heavy loaded and so run down and so discouraged that we can be walking on the seabed. That's not where God wants us. He's anointed you, he's planted you to bear fruit. And we've got to keep renewing our minds all the time. Praying in tongues, praying in the spirit. It's not like something that we can do flippantly or offhand. This is an absolute need, as important as breathing or drinking or sleeping, that we pray in the spirit, and then we'll get directed of God, and then God can send you to lay hands and raise the dead. God can use you to raise the dead. Brother Dougie was here last week. He probably told you about raising the man from the dead in Uganda. I've got a picture of it in my Bible. I know it happened. It was a reality. It was all over the newspapers in Africa. And the thing is that God sent him to that place at that particular time. And all the newspapers were there just on cue. The radio, local radio, was there just on cue. In fact, there was everybody there but the Dagenham World Papers. And, like, you know, it was just a setup, a Holy Ghost setup. Now, God has got Holy Ghost setups for you. Being in the right place at the right time, and as you wait upon the Lord, then that's it. And He's anointed you and empowered you, and it's no good getting to somewhere and thinking, oh, God, can't use me to do this? Because God is using you to do this. And this is part of bearing fruit, that you will bear mighty fruit. You know, it's great when you get out there and you're the crowds and you're watching the, you know, the thousands of them, and God sends you, sends me, so He sends you. And you're part of this fivefold ministry. All of the gifts are there available for you because you're planted in the right place. I don't care what they're doing down at the local cemetery. I mean, you know, down the road there, and St. Augustus, Aloysius, blah, 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 whatever. You know, God bless them. Fantastic. But they're not moving in the power of God, are they? There's nobody getting healed. There's anybody getting raised from the dead. So why go and sit in the cemetery? But I want to be where there's life. I want to be where the river is. But it's planted. It's planted. It's planted. I don't want to be one of these people who are just like, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And it's here, right, like, get your hands laid on that dead body. Because you get people that are like sort of in a clueless. And you say, right, we'll cast a demon out. And they're like, whoa, 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 away. Well, I don't believe a Christian can have a demon. And that's what, you know what I mean? They're running through the door and like sort of, hallelujah, you know? And it's like, well, Jesus doesn't heal today. That was for the apostles and the disciples. And that, there's no such thing as a gift of tongues. People just have a crack up and a breakdown. They start speaking in gibberish. Blah, 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 blah. You know, but that's, come on. We've been called by God. That's your inheritance. The inheritance. You're a one man, one woman walking revival. Amen. Amen. You're rooted and planted. Draw on your faith. Draw on the faith that God is putting. You're in the river. You're here. Just say, Lord, I'm having that, I'm having that, and I'm having, yes, Lord, I will raise the dead. Yes, Lord, I'm doing it. Never mind, them, like your sluice, you know, the sluice gate of your mind come down. We're not walking by sight, we're walking by faith here. Jesus spoke to those loaves, and they multiplied. You know, I've shared the testimony about how things appeared in my hand that were nothing. I brought them through, I believed them. I believed them through. I believed it through. I called it through from heaven. I believed it because why? Did I just suddenly say, I'm going to have money appear in my hand? No. Why? Why did it happen? Because Jesus said, David, do you believe that? I said, yes, Lord. He said, do it. And I did it, and the money appeared in my hand. I went, nothing. And nobody could ever tell me that didn't happen. And when Paul's car keys went walking about, and I knew what had happened. And The Lord spoke to us and told us the demon had pinched his keys. A demon had pinched Paul's keys. I was stood there because we were praying by the car. And the Lord said to me, David, there's a demon pinched his keys. I went, right, that's it, pray. Like, Lord, send an angel to get that keys off the demon. I was praying like that, and they come in my hand. You were there. You know, right? You know? That happened. I believed it. I acted on it. And he can say, David, you're ready for a straitjacket. Well, I'll be a happy one. I'll be there like, with Jesus in that, you know. Praise the Lord. But you see, that's what it's about. Because you get to a situation you don't know. But when you get to that situation, God's got the answer for you. And it's there for you, no matter what your problem is. And Claire, you rang us in a panic a few weeks ago about your car. You thought it was gone. It was impounded. It was never coming back. Where's it now? Where's your car? Outside. Never coming back. That, you know, God's working in your corner. He's working in your corner. He's working on your behalf. He loves you. And he wants you you know, to get a hold of it, like Jesus got a hold of it. Jesus was like this with the disciples for years, doing this, what I'm doing now, or really no different. I can't do it any different. Jesus showed us, David, do it this way, do it this way, do it, you know. I can't do it. If he was here, this is what he would be actually saying, do it, believe me. He was like there with Thomas, sitting there like, you know, and like sort of like, it's gotten over his head, it's gotten over his head. But one day Jesus appeared and he said, Thomas, you come here. Don't you, mister, get here. Put your hand in my side and feel. Put your hand in my side. Feel where the spear went in. You know, and it was like transformation. He got it straight away. You know, it's like, you know, don't do yourself down. We all have our Peter moments. We all have our Thomas moments. We all have, you know, we all fall down. Every one of us. But then God picks us up. You know, and it's like your inheritance. I don't know what God's got written on the last pages of your book apart from taking you to heaven. But in that book is things. And he's saying, some years I'm thinking, you're missing it. Get to me. I want to give you this. Listen, come to me. I want to give you it. And he's saying, Lord, what'll I do about this? Oh, God, the gospel's come through and it's, oh, Lord, I've crushed the car. And God's saying, all the answers, everything you will ever need is in me, says God. And I'm just going to close on that. And I'm going to pray tonight for God will, Lord, would you please do with my brothers and sisters here. Father, I'm preaching on miracles. And it says that you accompany, Father, the preaching with the following signs. Following signs. Lord, would you lift our minds. Lord, I need my pain-up brain lifted up to your level of thinking. Lord, would you totally, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless this word. Father, that you would encourage, Lord, to renew our minds, Lord. Father, give us faith to believe for miracles. Give us new levels of faith, Lord. New levels. Show us things we've never seen before, Lord. Father, I'm praying for miracles. Miracles. Faith in God. Faith in you, Father. Faith to move mountains, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Faith. Father God, no matter what happens. Whoa. Father, you know what it is? You know, a man who's going to be with the Lord now was heading up our work in Sri Lanka. And he went from hiring a little bit of land to having 11 rehabilitation centres, having wards off the World Health Organization as the world's best rehabs and things like your programs and that, you know. They were fantastic. And this man, his faith grew. And he was a humble man, but his faith grew. And he stood in front of that tsunami wave with his Bible, faith in the Lord. And said, you will not harm me nor my people, for I'm a son of the Most High God. And the tsunami we have diverted, jumped. Faith in action. Love in action. That's what we're about here. Love in action. I'm not interested in religion. I'm not interested in people polishing the pews. We don't have any pews. God didn't call you to polish your pews. Look, it's just funny, actually. Oh, thank you, Jesus, amen. You know, you're a person, you're a walking Holy Spirit Rambo. You know, you're a walking revival bomb waiting to go off. You're primed. God is with you. Father, I just thank you tonight for this. Father, I thank you tonight for everybody here. Lord, let us go away with that anointing of multiplication, of miracles. Lord, help us to understand multiplication. Lord, that we are believing, Lord. Help us to touch into that area of revelation that we may do mighty exploits. That when you put your hand out, Lord, that when these people put their hands out, that you will anoint them with power. Just as you did the first disciples. Lord, if you can use an idiot like me, Father, what can you do with these people? Lord, I pray for miracles to happen. I pray for that. We need a miracle. Will it look? We've prayed it. We believe it. Lord, tonight, we're asking you for miracles because you said we would do miracles in your name. Whoa.